is a triumph of fear over reason. The three legal workers were charged and convicted of aiding and abetting terrorism in connection with their representation of the blind Egyptian sheikh Omar Abdulrahman. When the former Attorney General Ashcroft announced the arrest of Stewart, he did so on the late-night David Letterman talk show, certainly an unprecedented venue for such an announcement. And as it began on TV, so was it often prosecuted, with a fearsome visage of Osama bin Laden beamed to jurors via videotape threatening to attack America on the sheikh's behalf. Even though the judge dutifully instructed the jury that Osama bin Laden had nothing to do with the case, how do you wash something like that from the mind after it's been admitted into evidence? Len's husband, activist Ralph Pointer, put the hammer to the nail when he said of the trial, quote, "This prosecution doesn't have a damn thing to do with terrorism. It has to do with politics and putting Len Stewart away," unquote. Stewart was really targeted because she ignored unconstitutional rules put in place by the government. In an interview with Stewart, she spoke about what the case was really about.
The Justice Department decided that things that I did as a lawyer are now to be outlawed, are now to be made into crimes in order to deter other lawyers from vigorously defending people. What I basically did was I issued a press release on behalf of my client. They said that this press release was materially aiding a terrorist organization, thus making it impossible for any First Amendment right to be protected. And to me, that is the real essence of this work, is that we be permitted to defend people such as yourself in these cases as political people, not just as defendant number 10872.
Recently, black political prisoner Albert Woodfox of the Angola 3 talked about the importance of lawyers in destroying isolation.
I think this was a pretty strong shot across the bow, as they say. You know, if you dare put forth an honest attempt to uphold the standards of law in this country, we will get you, you know. We will destroy you, because in most cases, they are our only voice to the outside world, you know.
And now, the state has prevailed, sending shockwaves through the defense bar that already shies away from the kind of cases that has been Stewart's staple for a generation. She's taken on cases involving members of the Black Panther Party, the Attica brothers, Puerto Rican independence fighters, and, since at least 1995, the blind sheikh. In order to put into operation the draconian special measures of the government, the state needs to seed fear into those who are sworn to protect and provide a full and vigorous defense, lawyers. But the battle isn't over. Perhaps what has happened has awakened many people in this country who would have preferred to slumber. Len Stewart, paralegal Ahmed Sattar, and professional translator Mohamed Yusri plan to stage a vigorous appeal of this outrageous verdict. They will need your support now more than ever. It'll take the work of many to undo John Ashcroft's revenge. From Death Row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
These commentaries are produced by Noel Hanrahan for Prison Radio.
When the state makes an example of a radical lawyer targeting Len Stewart, the conviction of civil rights attorney Len Stewart and her co-defendants, translator Mohamed Yusri and paralegal Ahmed Sattar, is a triumph of fear over reason. The three legal workers were charged and convicted of aiding and abetting terrorism in connection with their representation of the blind Egyptian sheikh Omar Abdulrahman. When the former Attorney General Ashcroft announced the arrest of Stewart, he did so on the late-night David Letterman talk show, certainly an unprecedented venue for such an announcement. And as it began on TV, so was it often prosecuted, with a fearsome visage of Osama bin Laden beamed to jurors via videotape threatening to attack America on the sheikh's behalf. Even though the judge dutifully instructed the jury that Osama bin Laden had nothing to do with the case, how do you wash something like that from the mind after it's been admitted into evidence? Len's husband, activist Ralph Pointer, put the hammer to the nail when he said of the trial, quote, "This prosecution doesn't have a damn thing to do with terrorism. It has to do with politics and putting Lynn Stewart away, unquote. Stewart was really targeted because she ignored him. Colorado-based historian Ward Churchill, the very controversy echoes an earlier, meaner age, that of the Cold War period of the 50s, when the state, through the FBI and various other government agencies, ran riot over the rights, livelihoods, families, and lives of tens of thousands of people simply because of their differing political opinions or because they were suspected of being communists. Churchill, an ethnic studies professor at UC, knows a little something about that era. He was co-author with Jim Vanderwall of the now classic and authoritative studies of the now infamous COINTELPRO, or counterintelligence program, of the FBI against radical movements. Their books are Agents of Repression, the FBI's Secret Wars Against the Black Panther Party and the American Indian Movement, and the COINTELPRO Papers, documents from the FBI's secret wars against dissent in the United States, both published by Southern Press. Both works, together over 900 pages, are exhaustively footnoted and documented and provide chilling insights into how the state used illegal, unconstitutional, and outright criminal tactics to neutralize, disrupt, and indeed destroy social and political movements for decades. Churchill is now under fire for an essay penned shortly after the events of September 11, 2001, where he reasons that anyone knowledgeable. Equally knowledgeable about foreign affairs, and he knows all too well that many people in foreign lands have grievances against the U.S. In his 2002 essay, Some People Push Back on the Justice of Roosting Chickens, Churchill recalls the famous comment by Malcolm X after the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. It was but a case of chickens coming home to roost. Ward Churchill is bitterly critical of the politicians, the military, and other government agencies who have unleashed a wave of terror upon people around the world. He does not mindlessly genuflect to the dead from the World Trade Center attacks. He explains, as best he can, that such unbridled violence abroad led to violence here. It is not enough for us to merely dumbly intone that Churchill has the right to write what he does. No, we must do more. We must insist that Churchill is right, and no one, not some rabid talk show parrots, nor a political whore like Governor Bill Owens, has a right to demand what is wrong. The Cold War is over, even in Colorado. Churchill is right. From Death Row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
These commentaries are produced by Noel Hanrahan for Prison Radio.
Philadelphia. What you'll see are sights not seen for generations. An interview with Assata Shakur from Cuba. Panthers speak and Panthers on the prowl. Shots done, not by the big corporate networks, but done mostly by small, independent, and sometimes radical filmmakers who wanted to portray one of the most dynamic revolutionary groups of the period, the Black Panther Party. Let us not underestimate the power of these films or their ability to open eyes, especially of our young people. Now, why do I say that? I'll tell you why. I met a young guy up here on death row, born and raised in North Philly, a young buck, about 22, who, like most of his generation, rapped 24/7. I think this dude rapped in his sleep. One day, he was in the yard, once again rapping apparently to himself, and he bragged about when he got out, he would be the biggest pimp in North Philly. Well, I could hardly believe my ears. Several other older dudes talked to him, and when we asked where he got the idea that pimping was cool, he answered that he saw the blaxploitation flick The Mac and thought that that was really how things were. It took some time, but we finally, I think, convinced him that things weren't like that, that pimps were not highly regarded in the community, and that the film was, after all, just a film, a form of entertainment maybe, but certainly not a true reflection of how things were. But unless I miss my guess, most of the stuff shown here will not be Hollywood productions, but documentaries, real reflections of real lives, real people, not actors reading lines. Can you imagine what that young brother would have been thinking if he grew up seeing this instead of that bourgeois stuff pumped out back in the 70s? So I salute you all for hosting this event and hope that the seats are full of young folks, for they will carry their history on. On the move, power to the people, and love. This is your brother, Omia.
I just can't get enough Thelonious Monk. This tune we're hearing right now is it's Thelonious. That's what you hear in the background right now. And then before that, you were listening to Baya. And then before that, you were listening to Well You Needn't. Interspersed with Mumia Abu-Jamal here at Kill Radio. Let's see, I'm going a little later tonight because I started later. And I don't have to get up and go to work in the morning. It's a day off for me. But I'm going to go into a little... I'm going to put on some Wes Montgomery right now. For all you guitar aficionados. And again, this show is called Straight Ahead every Monday night at midnight. Every Monday night at midnight. And my name is Hassan. So let's hear just a little bit more of this. I can't get enough Thelonious Monk, and then we'll listen to Mr. Wes Montgomery playing his guitar. Oh, and it's an album recorded live at it's called Wes Montgomery Live at Ronnie Scott's. Ronnie Scott's is a famous jazz club in London. I don't know if they're still open or not, but they were like rocking in the 60s and up through, I think, the middle 70s, the 50s, 60s, and up to the middle 70s. Okay, let's go back to Thelonious Monk here on Kill Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, it gives us very great pleasure to present for his first set this evening, the first set of his engagement here, our guest artist. We've had the greatest difficulty in persuading him to come over from America because he didn't like flying and he wasn't very keen on coming by boat, which posed a problem, you must admit. But we did eventually persuade him to come over. We won't tell you how he came over. It's sort of a military secret. He's accompanied by Stan Tracy, Rick Laird, and Ronnie Stevenson, and he is the world's finest jazz guitarist. We're very proud to be able to present to you, for his first appearance in England, Wes Montgomery. Wes Montgomery.
All right. Thank you.
it's getting late here in Los Angeles in Kel Radio Studios. I have to go home and mop my kitchen because it's flooding in Los Angeles right now. And we got a pipe leaking in my house, and I have to go home and mop. I'm not looking forward to it. I'll see you guys this Friday night, this upcoming Friday, when I do the 6 p.m. news here at Kel Radio. I do two shows here, the 6 p.m. Friday news every Friday, and the jazz show here on Monday night at midnight, Tuesday morning. And again, in the background is Wes Montgomery. I hope I didn't have him too loud there. I'll see you next Friday at 6 p.m. At the 6 p.m. news on Friday. But what I'm going to do, we're going to go out with Dakota Staton, blues singer, jazz singer. This particular CD I'm getting ready to play is really close to my heart. I actually bought it off of Dakota. She was in a club out here in Los Angeles called Birdland West about 10 years ago. I took my mother to go see her because her and my mother were childhood friends on a Mother's Day. And I went down there and we went into the dressing room, and it was so sweet. She was selling them out of her suitcase. Dakota Staton was selling her CDs out of her suitcase. And this is a world-famous blues singer. She's had some ups and downs. A lot of people wonder what happened to her because she really went underground for years and years and years, and she resurfaced in the early 90s. I haven't heard anything from her in years. But anyway, I'm going to put on her CD and play a couple tunes, and then I'm going to get out of here. Gotta go home and mop my floor because it rains in Los Angeles. I don't know if you guys have been following the news. This is the worst rainy season we've had in 100 years. My landlord said it was biblical. But on that note, the name of this jazz show is called Straight Ahead. And this is Kel Radio. And like I said, I'm going to put on Dakota Staton, play a couple of her songs, and then we're going to go into some pre-recorded stuff here on Kel Radio to take us into the daylight hours. I think someone doesn't come on until like about noon. John Jaw Watson, he was doing the early morning Tuesday shift, but he's on hiatus. Whatever you're doing, John, good luck. We'll see you in a couple months, a year or two. So let's go back into Wes Montgomery live at Ronnie Scott's in London, and then we're going to segue into a little into Miss Dakota Staton. Okay, and this is Kel Radio again. Thanks for listening. Tell a friend. And this is Hassan. I'll see you Friday, this upcoming Friday at 6 p.m. on the Kel Radio News. Thank you.
to me, baby. You're the one. Can't you see? for good.